Very good.
We need you to look at. There was something we needed you to look at.
Pardon me?
Is this the chat we needed you to look at?
I hope so.
No, besides, well, of course we do. Yeah, I think it was.
I feel terrible if you
did. No, I think it was.
I'm sorry. Well, so Paul can move around a little bit.
I can do, sure.
Where's Mr. Bryan?
I don't bite.
Sure. Where's not what I've heard.
He's going to be late.
President pro tem.
I heard he did bite, actually.
Pardon?
I heard he did bite. I remember it has. Did you bite?
Besides being dead.
I speak
into the microphone.
Tell my wife that. She thinks I'm squawking all the time.
Francis, are you leaving me over there?
Oh. I did.
Okay.
Hi. I'm fine. How are you?
Trying to. Did you guys get the revised motion?
Judge better make sure Did we just
got finished, so.
Did we just get what did we just get?
Anyway, to watch TV.
It's just oh.
It's the revised version of what the amended version.
Okay, we didn't get a new book though.
No, we did not get a new. We're anticipating.
Well, the new books are over there. The new books.
Can we take the new books, or are they going to be distributed?
They're going to be distributed.
They'll be passed out, Chris. Scott. You'll have to take
them. If we had new coloring books, and he said they'll be, they'll be forthcoming.
Well, they want your undivided attention. You can't open the book till they
finish. Are we ready, folks? Ready?
We are. Whenever you're ready.
Chris, you ready?
Ready.
Did you pass out vision books?
Not yet.
No.
No.
You want to do that?
Okay, I'd like to call to order the,
what date is it?
February 10th, Planning and Zoning Architectural Board of Review. We have a single item on the agenda tonight, and welcome to everybody who is here.
And I'm going to turn the meeting over to, do you want to say anything before we start, Dave?
No.
Okay. I'm going to identify the people that are here from council. Francis Cluter, Ron Barron, Council President Brandon Duber, Ken Alfred, and Judd Klein, who also serves as your council representative to Planning and Zoning. And this is the Planning and Zoning Board, and our village planner, Dave Hart. I won't say everybody's names because they have name tags on. And I am Kathy Mulcahy. I am your mayor. And I will introduce Chris Salata from the development group Fairmont Properties, and he can introduce his team members that are here with him. We are also pleased to have our school superintendent, Dr. Holland, and school board member, Jeff Lykin. Thank you for being here. And we are looking forward to the presentation tonight. This is in anticipation of passing a motion to approve the revised plan for the Pinecrest development that was formally approved in July of 2013, but since that time it has gone through a lot of revisions and changes, and we're going to see what those are tonight. Chris?
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for coming tonight.
Chris, you need to.
Oh, I do?
Yep.
I have a pretty loud voice.
It's on already.
Okay. Can you hear this, or this is just for the recording purposes?
You should be able to hear it slightly back there.
Okay. Let me start by introducing our team. My name is Chris Salata. I'm the Chief Investment Officer and General Counsel for Fairmount Properties. We are developing Pinecrest in a joint venture with Independence Construction. And from Independence Construction, we have with us this evening Josh Decker. We also have from RTKL Architects in Chicago, Keith Campbell. We have Jeff Plouts from our civil engineer, Neff Engineering. We have Andrew Pearson here from TMS Engineers, our traffic consultant. Not to be forgotten, our land use counsel, Jordan Burns, is also with us this evening. And I thought it might be beneficial to just kind of recap where we have been over the course of the last three planning and zoning meetings, because this is our third or fourth time now in front of this body pursuing this approval of this new preliminary development plan. As the mayor so accurately pointed out, in 2013, the site plan that you see on the screen today was approved as part of the preliminary development plan for the Pinecrest project. As a reminder to everybody here tonight, we are focused solely on the commercial phase of the project, which is the 57.5 acres of land that fronts on Harvard and Orange Place. As you can see, the original plan that was originally approved included, your typical lineup of boxes, retail boxes, along with a hotel use, a theater use, some residential, some outparcel buildings, and your typical power center setup with a sea of asphalt parking in front of those stores. Fairmount Properties became involved with the original developer of this project, Mr. David Lewansky, in late 2013. And when we became involved in the project, it became readily apparent to us that This particular design was not conducive to attracting the high-end tenants that the mayor and the village had hoped for the project. And so based on our track record and our experience and our fortunate success, we then started to collaborate with a new team, a new development team, to propose changes to this plan that would make this a better place, not just for the Village of Orange, but for the surrounding communities. And what we are here seeking tonight is approval of that new revised plan, as well as various items that go along with that site plan as it relates to the design, access, traffic, architecture, things of that sort. So this is the new concept plan that we have proposed. There have been some small changes since the last time we were in front of you guys, which we will walk you through as we go through a new book tonight. But essentially, for everyone else's benefit, what we've designed here, as you can see, eliminates that sea of asphalt and eliminates the row of box stores. And in its place, we've inserted a main street, a pedestrian-friendly main street that will create an environment that will resemble a downtown for Orange Village. And it will create what we hope is at the north terminal here of the project, a very welcoming community gathering space that will feature all types of public amenities that both Orange Village and the surrounding communities will be able to take advantage of. So just a quick overview of where we've gone here. We now have on the first floor, facing on both the east and west side of Main Street, we have retail contemplated for those first levels. Above this level here in this first building to the west of the main entrance, to the east of the main entrance, we have contemplated doing residential above that building. Above this middle building, we are still contemplating developing a hotel, 120 to 125 room boutique hotel. And then over these two buildings on the second to fourth levels, we are contemplating doing office. So you'll have true mixed use along the east side of Main Street here, which does a couple of different things. One, it drives traffic here, and it makes this place feel alive throughout the day. So you'll have office workers here during the day. You'll have people that will be frequenting the restaurants and the retail here in the evenings, and you'll have people living here, which creates that terrific urban pedestrian experience that I think we're all seeking. On the west side of Main Street, these would be predominantly retail stores, some of these larger format stores. We are prohibited from doing stores of certain sizes, but we would consider these in our industry to be junior anchors, so to speak. So they range in size from 25,000 square feet to maybe 50,000 square feet. But mixed within some of those junior anchors, we do have some additional small shops. And these additional small shops, the leasing is currently targeting fashion, it's currently targeting food, it's currently targeting sporting goods, outdoor recreation, lots of names that will be announced here in the very near future that do not currently exist in Northeast Ohio. So one of our tasks here is to create a project that incorporates 65% of the ground floor retail from new tenants, essentially tenants that don't exist within a 20-mile radius of this project. And I think that's important because you don't want to just rearrange the deck chairs. You really want to create something new and special that people will want to come to and haven't had a chance to frequent because these particular retailers are not currently in Northeast Ohio. As my partner Adam Fishman likes to say, Cleveland was on the no list for a long time. LeBron is back, the RNC is coming, we're hot. And the retail community feels the same way. They all are now eyes on Cleveland, and I think you'll be very excited to learn in the near future the identity of some of these tenants that plan on joining us here at Pinecrest. We have announced we are under contract with Concord Hospitality, who is a hotel operator that operates more than 70 hotels in the country. They are working diligently right now on the format of that particular hotel. We have also announced here the movie theater. As a reminder, that's Silver Spot Theaters. They are currently operating one of the most profitable theaters in the country at the Mercado in Naples, Florida. They're also about to open a new location in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they happen to be the largest, most successful hotel operator in the country of Venezuela. This is a very high-end, upscale theater that many of you are now aware of. It's dinner and a movie. It's dinner, drinks, and a movie. It's 21 and older. You come in, it's a leather-stitched recliner that you sit in. If you pay the extra $5, you can sit in the VIP section, and you can get a pillow and a blanket, and your server will continue to come throughout the film and refresh your wine or your cocktail. But very unique, nothing like it in our market. Excited to have them as part of the project. So they will reside on the second floor of that building. Along the first floor of both this building and the office buildings, we are targeting multiple high-end, unique, new-to-market restaurants. The hope is that all of these restaurants would include outdoor dining facilities, which would then create the buzz, the synergy, that we're all, I think, hoping for this particular area of the project. This space, as I talked about earlier, can be utilized for a variety of different things. At Fairmount, we take great pride in the number of events that we put on and we sponsor at our projects. We sponsor currently at our Hudson First and Main project north of 30 events on an annual basis, including concerts in the summers on Friday and Saturday nights, activities for children. There'll be all kinds of different things that we can do with this very flexible space. It will feature some vertical transportation here to this parking field, which will serve to enter the theater from the upper level. And then across the way, you'll have a concept called Pinstripes, which is currently out of Chicago. The founder is actually a Cleveland native. Pinstripes is a very unique, hip entertainment facility. It's bowling, bocce ball, and Italian food. I actually had the pleasure of frequenting the one in Oak Brook, Illinois, a couple of weekends ago, and it is a very neat concept that young and old will really enjoy. So that will be on the opposite side of the town center. There will be valet parking down at this end that will enable people to get to the entertainment hub of the project rather quickly. And then along the front here, we'll have additional parking for these retailers as well as access to these out parcels, these out pads that could feature everything from restaurants to a bank, things that you would traditionally see on the outskirts of a mixed-use project like this. Up in PD2 along Harvard Road, we are in discussions with multiple gourmet grocers to fill that spot. So you'll have grocery, hospitality, residential, office, and retail all under one roof here at Pinecrest. We view this as kind of game-changing from what was originally proposed and approved in the first PDP. And I think the retailers and the leasing has confirmed our feelings towards this particular plan. The types of tenants that we are targeting, and I think the types of tenants that the village and the community were seeking as part of this original approval, would not have been interested in going into that row of boxes with the sea of parking. So this is the type of environment they would like to be in, and I think it's the type of environment that's sustainable for both Orange Village as well as the surrounding communities, both from just an economic standpoint as well as from, you know, the sustainability of the success of the project. The length and duration of the leases and the quality of the tenants. So we're extremely excited to move to this particular stage tonight. We have been in front of this body a couple of times, as I mentioned already. We have submitted a handful of things to you. And I don't I don't want to confuse anyone. So what we've done with David Hart's consent is we've actually produced some new vision books tonight. They are not in final form. We cobbled together what was already presented to you and what our new submissions this evening. Ultimately, I think our goal is, following this evening's meeting, provided that all the comments are received, we would then submit a clean, complete, comprehensive vision book to the village that the village could then post to its website and have copies distributed as requested by either council or members of the Planning Commission. So. Without further ado, I'd like to give you those copies now. And David, I think it might make sense to flip through those, point out the changes, and then how they relate to the particular motion that you've drafted and we've discussed.
Do you have PowerPoint slides?
We do have the new submissions, so we'll make sure we put those on the screen so everyone can see those.
You need one to read on the internet.
Can you send it to me as a PDF?
People will send.
He said he'll send a new one.
Yeah.
Is it your folder?
Yeah.
So some of this will look very familiar because it's already been submitted to you at previous meetings. But perhaps we can flip, we'll flip page by page and I'll draw your attention to where we have made some changes.
Yeah, Brian will be showing up. And please make sure that we engage the audience by putting up whatever slides.
We will. Guys are ready. I'll draw your attention to the first change. So, yep, on the concept plan PDP, which is the plan that I had previously on the screen, which looks like this. You have this in your book. There's a very minor change that we'll need to make to align the districts up. This is a very technical change, but if you see in the upper right-hand corner, these are actually comments that we included here with Mr. Hart today. We'll box off PD1 so that it's so that square lines up with those boundaries. Okay. That's the only change to that. Keith, you've got the next page up there. So this next page is on the screen, and this is our site plan, which remains in progress. And as we've discussed, each time we talk to a retailer, each time we talk to a potential office tenant, each time we talk to someone else that may inhabit this place, there are suggestions, there are feedback. Every time we meet with members of village administration, the police chief, there are great ideas that are exchanged and collaborated on a daily basis. So. This is where the site plan currently stands. Let me just point out some of these changes on the screen. It might be easier to see. the first one is here. You'll see we've added some public restrooms. So they weren't currently, they were always contemplated that they would be part of the project. And those are noted, I think you see in purple, mm-hmm. along the, there's a location next to the pinstripes near the town center. There's also a location near the rear of the first building, too, when you enter on the east side of Main Street. So we've started to, you know, provide a little bit more detail as we go. We talked about other amenities like bike racks and benches and things like that. All of those will start to find their home here and obviously will be noted on our final development plan when we seek that approval.
What's this?
Jumping ahead of me, but that, well, why don't we go right there? The purple space in the garage that the mayor just pointed out is a proposed location for the mini substation.
Yeah.
So having that contained in the garage, I think, was something that both the fire chief and the police chief had signed off on. They liked the idea of moving it down closer to the heart of the project and being closer to the town center. We do have some follow-up with them to determine the size of the vehicles that they'll be parking there.
I got a diagram from them today. Did you? That I haven't shared with you. But I thought that they said it was going to, I thought when we talked about it, unless you've had a conversation with them since, I thought it was going to be like on the edge so it was visible.
Well, we can have signage that notes it, that it's in there, but I think just from a design standpoint, because of the ramping of the garage, they're still going to have extremely easy access to get out of that right onto Main Street. Okay. And that's, this is not a final location. This is just this, as this thing has started to morph, we've kind of penciled that in right now as a potential location. Mm-hmm. It will be important for us to see that diagram, understand the size of those vehicles so that we can accommodate those. So the next biggest change, I think, is building two. When we were last here, the residential, we had contemplated, you know, 120, 125 units. And I think we had told this group that that was most likely going to come down as we started to actually design the layout of those residential units. So we're now looking at gross square footage of the residential building on the second to fourth levels of about 91,000 square feet. And within that, we're now only contemplating about 72 units. So 72 apartments, and the average square footage of those apartments has grown to be consistent with the market study that we had performed, and I think to be consistent with what the zoning had contemplated as well. So that's a significant change, and that's helpful, I think, on multiple levels. One, it helps us lay these out in a single-loaded configuration such that none of these residents are looking at the garage. Two, it lowers the number of people that actually live here that will have parking needs and helps us from a parking standpoint as well.
Is it enough that people will want to be there?
Oh, sure. There's enough density there.
Yep. What do these words say in the yellow? I have a glass of them, but I
so
can't see them.
These are, so the yellow space in the rear of that building would be amenity space for the residential. So they'd be hallways, corridors for the residential access.
What that says?
For the residential access as well.
Secondary
residential entry lobby. Yep. So they'll have connectivity to the garage, as we've talked about. So they'll have covered parking and be able to access the building directly from the garage. But there will be a first level entrance as well.
And Jerry may have a jeweler's loop we can use.
So the next change, I think, as you move down Main Street into what is labeled as Building 4. The hotel had previously, I think, cantilevered over buildings 4 and buildings 5. After some further discussion with the hotel operator and our design team, we've decided to shift the hotel so that it is squarely over building 4. So there won't be any building. From a construction cost standpoint, this helps us. It was causing some difficulties lining up office space and a potential spa on the second level of those buildings, and so we've shifted the hotel, so now we'll reside completely over building 4. So the drop-off, as Keith is pointing out with his pointer there, the drop-off has now come off of Main Street as well. We had some concerns about having the valet station for the hotel right on Main Street. We don't want any traffic necessarily backing up there. So now hotel guests will actually enter the roundabout, and they will their valet will be at the back of the building there, so they can enter the garage, and that green notes the lobby for the hotel that will take them up to the hotel levels. The next significant change, continuing to move down Main Street on that same side, is now buildings 5 and 6 will contain some office space above. So our office space has grown from about 100,000 square feet to about 150,000 square feet. This change was made based on some feedback from the market, based on an office study that we had performed, and based on some feedback with potential tenants. We think this is a huge point for the economic sustainability of this project as well. Adding essentially 50% more office space than we had originally contemplated will help generate under our assumptions some significant additional income tax for the village. So that's a big change there. The actual town center itself, while it might not look like it on this plan, we've reduced the overall size of that just a little bit. We had some initial concerns that maybe it was too big, and so what we've done is we've reconfigured some of those buildings and the valet access so that that particular part of the project has shrunk a little bit. It's still a very terrific space, and it's going to still provide plenty of room to do to host all of the events that we hope to do there, but We did think it was a little bit too big, so we've shrunk that just a little bit by reconfiguring some of the buildings.
Are you still planning on a skating rink and a sprinkler park and a Spanish Steps?
Keith's Spanish Steps. We are still exploring, yes, all those things, seasonal activities, including ice skating rink. Whether or not the splash park actually goes there or in one of the other amenity spaces along Main Street, we've yet to determine, but that is also an amenity that we're exploring. You know, some of the feedback that we've received from office tenants and some of the concern they have with the office building is there isn't really a true drop-off point for the office building. So as we continue with those discussions, there may be future changes to this, I guess, this area before we get to our final development plan that could contemplate a drop-off area.
Yeah, there's office drop-off right there.
Well, in the rear. I mean, in the front of the buildings, I should say.
On a percentage basis, by how much has the town center, I guess, drawn?
I don't know percentage-wise. Yeah. The footprints of Building 5, Building 6 grew incrementally by maybe 5 feet. So it's a pretty marginal decrease in the size of the overall space. But we like the decrease, actually. Our major concern with all public spaces is that we tend to sound too big, and so it left unused.
Kind of could safe. You speak up?
Sure.
Into the mic.
Sorry.
We're not real concerned with the decrease in the size of that public space here, because in general, our concern is that we tend to design spaces in this country that are too big, and so they look a little bit unused on a day like today, February 10th, when there's not a lot going on. So we're looking for ways to compress the space and make it feel more communal, let's say.
The overall shape of that courtyard area, too, of the new one, is better, I think, nicer.
I would agree with Kathy's. I like how it has a little more closure to it. It feels a little more intimate. And question for you, Chris, there's it looks like there's a small building in the middle of the public space.
Oh.
Right there. What is that?
Yep, so that could be, I'm sorry. We're contemplating that could be a kiosk of some sort that could serve as a retail ancillary income source for the project. So that could be a permanent structure, which you'll find in a lot of RTKL's projects in Chicago. Yeah, it could be something like that. Right.
Chris, as long as we're talking about, I'm not sure whether this is the time for interspersing comments and questions from this body. I mean, should I just let Chris proceed?
Sure. If it relates to this, yeah, we can.
It does relate to the town center.
But just speak up so people can
hear you. Yeah, it does relate to the town center. And at the last meeting where the vision plan was presented to this board 4 weeks ago, we talked about the pedestrian access to Main Street and what other cities, large cities, were doing where they had actually eliminated curbs where people can wander, and it creates a communal sense. And you know, I think Brian both said something at the time where we would hope that curbs would be maintained because it's important from a safety standpoint.
Right.
You know, one of our surrounding communities experienced something last summer that certainly we would want to avoid.
Yeah, I don't think we're currently contemplating the elimination of any curbs along Main Street. I think the discussion, Scott, centered on the actual town center and how you protect, you know, the pedestrians that are frequenting that. You can do that in a variety of different ways, but you know, a change in pavement, I think, is one thing that we'll do. Whether we include bollards of some sort or
probably a textural change in the paving surface.
Right.
That community has curbs, by the way, so that
there will be. So I guess it's important to point out that ballet drop off will be on either side of that. So you should have cars slowing into that area on both sides of the street in front of the town center there. And there'll be some structure there to prevent cars from just driving down Main Street onto the town center.
Thank you.
It looks like, and carrying on that particular point, it looks like the intent is to carry the pattern of paving and design all the way across the road so it connects the east and west portion of that public space.
That's correct.
So that could be done with changes of material color to make that read, or how do you anticipate that happening?
I would anticipate having both with textural change.
Sorry, with a textural change and probably a color change, but we like this pattern going all the way across. It helps to unify that entire space and engaging the edge of pinstripes in that space also. So that was the intent.
Any other questions on that page? I think that summarizes the changes.
Why did you X out these things on building four?
Because when we were reviewing this, what constituted the application today, and they were going to submit a revised version after tonight, I suggested we didn't need to reflect the changes from the earlier drawing because this is the drawing you're approving.
Right.
So it was just X out that text box.
When we ultimately resubmit this, that box will be gone. That was for our notes this evening. Okay. This next page, there's been some changes here. This just shows you what I just described, which are the upper levels of those buildings. So now you see the theater to the north, the office buildings, the hotel, and the residential. So that's the only change there.
So this side of the street is higher than this side of the street?
It will be. It will be, though. Keep in mind that some of the tenants that are on the west side of Main Street are these larger format junior anchors that actually have taller buildings. So it won't feel like you've got the mini side of the street and the major side of the street. There will be some height on that west side. But yes, as of now, the east side will be higher than.
What I'm wondering about is their view to the top of these buildings. Will the top floors be looking down into the tops of the buildings across the street?
There will be views of some of the rooftops, yes. But for example, the view, the pinstripes will have a upper level patio and terrace, and the tenants that we're talking to for the building across from the other office tower. There have to be some things that they take into account when they complete the construction of the top of their building. We definitely don't want our office tenants staring at HVAC units, so there'll be some screening that will have to be done.
In the motion that was circulated to planning and zoning a few days ago, there's a blank for the increase in maximum building height from 45 feet to blank to be verified by applicant. Is that going to be verified tonight, or is that?
We have a revised motion.
We have a revised motion that was just passed out, and based on the screening requirement, we are basically saying we're not putting a height on the buildings, a maximum height on the buildings, except to say, reinforce what's been known, that it still has to comply with the screening requirements from Waterford Court. Because there's still some uncertainty, and there's the section drawing. There's still some uncertainty, even within those sections, as to exactly how high the floor to floor is going to be, and the mechanical equipment on the roof and the parapets. So it's still a little uncertain to set the maximum, except to say, no matter what they do, it has to comply with the screening.
And monitoring that compliance, is that within? Solely
yes.
Within the purview of our engineers?
Yes. Yeah. When the final plan is submitted, I think the wording is essentially they have to submit verification that those drawings.
The sight line study complies with the requirements in the code.
And they have to show that again at the time of the final plan approval.
You have a copy of the new motion, revised motion?
I do. It was attached to what appeared just to be a list, but it's here. Yeah.
So speaking to that point, we have updated the sightline study, which is the next page in your book, to show you as much as we can at this point from a design standpoint where we think the buildings are. And in all cases, they are in compliance with the sightline from Waterford Court.
stuff there. Okay.
Okay, so if you flip ahead to what we're referring to as back of house, looks like this. So these were renderings that were requested at our previous meeting that we just had not completed yet. But we've given you two different perspectives of the back of house. Obviously, this isn't a very busy day at the shopping center. There's not many cars, but we specifically took those out just so we could see the buildings. We're focused on the buildings at this point. So this is a view of, if I'm standing, this first one that Keith has on the board might be your second, matter of fact, maybe your second slide.
Well, it also doesn't include the outparcel buildings.
Right.
That would be in front of that back.
That's right. These are the west, this is the west side of the west side of Main Street. So.
Well, you really hit those delivery areas well.
Excuse me, was to not necessarily depict the architecture in detail yet, or the cars for that matter, but the concept that we have for treating landscape along this western edge, which is to create a green streetscape along this western edge that's not dissimilar from the level of landscaping and hardscaping that you're going to find on Main Street itself. So to screen these large loading areas, we're proposing 10-foot tall screen walls, possibly with green screen here, and over here. Trees in planters, exactly the same kind of detailing and methodology that we're showing on Main Street, and then same width sidewalk along this entire western edge that engages those trees and planters the same way that Main Street is engaged.
Where are the, where's the service drive and the delivery base?
We'll show you in a minute. This is the rendering, I guess, from.
That's from the southwest.
From the southwest.
Right.
Go back to that slide, Keith.
Yep.
I think it continues to be important because of the orientation of that building. If you can focus on the area where the trees are over here, that this wall and its, I would assume its sister wall on the opposite side of that court over there, needs to have a little more detail in it, some type of texture to break up the scale of that wall. Right now, it's a large blank element, and it's predominant on that elevation line. So we're going to need to look at that a little more.
Agreed. We do have some section drawings later on in the presentation that show height-wise and scale-wise what that wall and the tree and the planter was all about. But I hear you about the size of this wall and maybe the level of detail that we need to address.
Above the 10-foot line, because that's going to be visible from not only from the parking lot, but probably from the highway.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the building architecture, this surface there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that does kind of show up in the elevation, the rendered elevations.
That green scape there is 10 feet high?
That green screen is 10 feet high there, yes.
So that wall that it's in front of is 30 feet, 25 feet high?
Yeah, on that order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably 30 feet.
Yeah,
about that.
I think that's why the buildings on the other side are not going to be dwarfing these buildings, because these buildings are going to be pretty high ceiling buildings, or could be two-story buildings.
Well, particularly this end tenant that this is serving is going to have a pretty significant height to it because of its interior. It's going to be substantial.
So we have a second perspective from the other end. Should take you down to the northwest corner. That's more in the middle of the project.
And again, the same condition exists on that corner there as the opposite. So both of those need to be given some.
Our intention there, and it hasn't quite been developed yet, although we're hinting at it in the rendered elevations of the west side is that those tenants are gonna, like all tenants, they're gonna want their own identity in the form of signage. They're going to want some presence as far as graphic presence. I don't think they can work with true transparency here, but they can work with either graphic or show windows on this west elevations here as well as over here. So the combination of landscaping, hardscaping, tenant identity, and graphic identity on these surfaces, I think, is gonna make everybody happy.
Is that the service entrance?
Yeah.
But that's the elevation actually facing Orange Place.
Right, and the tenant that's in the middle there, Keith, I will actually have an entrance.
Right, yeah, there'll be another building.
Entrance off of the western parking lot.
Right.
Right, and then ultimately, there will be a, an out parcel building that will serve as kind of the terminus of that common area. So if you flip to the next page, this is also a new submission. As part of the 2013 PUD approval, there were some sketches that RDL had completed that showed some typical building materials and quality. We've kind of gone a step further because we're a little bit farther along in the process. These are actually renderings of a typical anchor store in the project. And what we've done is we've shown, we've identified on those renderings where we would have, where we'd be using certain materials and the quality of those materials. And what we've basically done is we've taken you over the course of these next three slides. We've shown you an anchor, some small shops, and then down to what we're referring to as a junior anchor. So this space here is approximately 10 to 12,000 square feet. First space was approximately 25 to 27,000 square feet, and then there's maybe 10,000 square feet of small shops in between those two tenants. And this should give you a good feel for the types of building materials and the quality that we're pursuing. Next update. Okay, it's fine. I'll bring them up to speed. So if you flip two pages ahead, you'll see a landscape zone diagram and then one that's noted as a site and landscape plan 62-foot parking bay. Everybody see that one? That's fine. Oh, okay.